Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos Kuf Vav. We're in Kuf Hamid Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting at the two dots, about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elisha. One story before that. Sorry. We're going to be starting with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, two more incidents, two more stories regarding Shochad. We started yesterday the 13th parak of the Masechta. So the 13th parak of the Masechta is brought to you by two numbers. The Mishnah. The first Mishnah, which we covered yesterday, first Mishnah starting on the very bottom of Kuf Dalam Beis, so that there were two Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, and they were Gozrei Gezeros, and we learned yesterday Gezeros on Gzelos, and the two of them are Admon and Hanan ben Avishalom, and the numbers are going to be 2 and 7. Two things that were said by Hanan, and 7 things said two things that are said by Hanan, and 7 things that are said by Admon. And so this parak is going to take us through the 7 statements that were made by the Shtei Dayanim. The first of them is related to Ksuvos, and that's why it comes up over here in this Masechta. So statement number 1 is that when a woman's collecting mazonos, her husband went AWOL. He went out of town, but she doesn't know when he's coming back, and obviously she needs to eat, and rumor is probably every day. So she's entitled to her mazonos, and so she goes to Basin, and she can collect her mazonos. They'll sell off properties. We've discussed this already numerous times. And the question becomes, does she have to make a shvua? So yes, the answer is yes, she has to make a shvua, but when exactly? So machlokus amongst the Tanaim, but Hanan was of the very clear position that the shvua is going to be made, basof, at the end. And the way Rashi understands it is that, not now when she's collecting mazonos, but later, in the event that she collects her ksuva, she'll be making a shvua, and then retroactively she'll be making a shvua, and all the times that she was given distributions regarding a mazonos. Okay, that's the Mishnah. And then what the Gemara launched into and started yesterday, this discussion, and that is a lengthy discussion regarding Shochad. We talked about Dayanus, and we talked about serving as a dayan. We talked about the practice of Karna, where Karna would be receiving money from both parties. It doesn't matter whether or not you were found guilty or innocent, you receive money from both parties. And isn't that a violation of Shochad? And that's the Gemara's discussion the entirety of yesterday. So, with that stated, we're going to just jump into it because our Gemara is going to continue its discussion regarding Shochad b'mamon, that's clear. And then there's also Shochad b'dvarim. Somebody does you a tova. So, and now he wants you to judge his case. That's also going to be a violation of Shochad. And with that, we start with the Gemara. So, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef, Ragala, Risei, Davim, Maisilei, Kol Ma'alei Shabasa, Kanta de Perei. Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yossi had a sharecropper, meaning it was his property. He had a sharecropper on his property. And you know how it works. The sharecropper would take the take produce. He would work the land, take the produce, and split the produce with you. Okay, it was it was basically a joint venture. How much would he take and how much would you take? Just simply depend on whatever the contract was. Sometimes a quarter, a third or a half. And so now the sharecropper is coming to Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yossi every Thursday. Every Friday, in order to make his deposit, so that the Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yossi would get his fair share of the sharecropping. So Yumachad Aisile b'Chamisha b'Shabbos. So one time he came on a Thursday. Amale Maishna Ha'idnam. So Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yossi is curious. It's not the minhag. The minhag is to come on Friday. And why are you coming on Thursday? So Amale Dina Isle v'Amina Ana. I'm sorry. Agav Orchai Aisile Lamar. So he says, look, I have a din today. And it's Thursday, and Basin's open up on Monday and Thursday. So today is Thursday, and I'd love it if you could judge my case. So lo kabel minei. So at that point in time, Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yossi knew that he'd be in a compromised position if he would go ahead and take the basket of fruit. So Amar lei p'sun lach ledina. He says, I can't, I'm posel. So Osev Zuze derabanan v'kadainen lei. So what he set up is he set up a pair of Talmid HaChachamim in order to judge him. Okay, a pair of Talmid HaChachamim is a little bit strange. You need 3. Okay, I'm sure that detail was worked out. But anyway, now, no longer as an active member of the bench, but rather as a participant, Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yossi says, now wait 1 second, as he's listening to the case. Now he knows law, but as he's listening to the case, he's saying, they could have argued this on his behalf. He could have argued that way on his behalf. In other words, basically, in his mind, he's going through all the different arguments that could have been made on his behalf. So Amr Tepuch Nafsham Shem Mekabla Shochad. So at that point in time, Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yossi gets to watch himself actively be bribed. Now, Baruch Hashem, in other words, he recused himself from the case knowing that he would be, that he would no longer be impartial, but he watched himself make arguments on his sharecropper's behalf. He liked the sharecropper. So, umani shalom natalti, vin metalti shalom natalti, so kach mekablik shalchad alcha v'kama. Look, I didn't even take the fruit today. In other words, I rejected the fruit today. And on top of that, it's mine, meaning it's something I'm entitled to. And yet, my impartiality is, in fact, going to be compromised. Can you imagine somebody who actually took shochan? Okay, next story. Rabbi Shimon bar Elisha, Aisilei, Ahugavra, Reishis, I guess. So, Rabbi Shimon bar Elisha, he was the Kohen Gadol. You remember him from the Gemara Brachos, and if you don't, that's fine. So somebody brought him Reishis Hagez. When you shear your sheep, so the first shearings have to go to the Kohen. So the Gemara in Chulin, Perek in Chulin, dedicated to this topic towards the end of Chulin. So Amrle Mehechat. So Amrle Miduch Plan. So he says now. So they asked Rabbi Shimon bar Elisha, where are you from? And he says, I'm from such and such a place. So Mehasam Lahacha Lohava Kohen Lemitzvale. So he says, look, you couldn't find a coin from there to here? Just like, in other words, you made it all the way here? So I'm like, Dina Yisleve, Amina, Agavorche, Aisile Lamar. So he says, sure. But I have a din. So I figured, you know what? As long as I have a din, I'll bring it to you. So I'm like, Psinalach Ladina. So he says, that's it. In other words, now you brought me a gift. I can't judge. So Lo Kabamine, he refused to take it. Osev Le, Zugad Rabbanan, Vikadainele, same setup. He set up a pair of Tamid Chachamim in order to judge him. And Bahad the Kazavasi, and again, now he's a spectator. And as he's spectating the court in the case, he says, Amar Yibai Tainachi, Yibai Tainachi. So, this is what I could have argued. This is what I could have argued. So, and Amar, and so the realization now that once again his judgment has been compromised. So, Amar Tipach Nafshon, Shem Mekabla Shochad, Amani Shalon Talti, Vin Matalti Shalin Natalti, Mekabla Shochad, Alachas Kama Vechama. Look, I didn't take, and even if I did take, I'm entitled, meaning we're talking about Matnos Kahuna. A Kohen is entitled to take Matnos Kahuna. And yet, my judgment's clearly been impaired. Can you imagine someone who actually takes Shochad in terms of his judgment? Same conclusion. Ravana Naisilei Ugavra Kinta de Gildani de Begile. So, as far as Ravana is concerned, so a person brought him a basket full of fish, small fish. Amalei Mai Vidatech Amalei Din Isli. So, lo kabamine. Once again, why are you here? He says, I need a judge. And you're a judge. And I need you to judge my case. So he says, look, I appreciate the overture of the basket of fish, but I can't take it. Amalei psilach ledina. Not only can I not take it, I can't serve as a judge anymore. Again, third time in a row, what we're hearing is that you made an overture to me. You extend it to me. I can't judge. So amalei dina demar. Kabulik Bemar. So he says, okay, fine. So you're not going to judge my case, but how about this? In the very least, can you accept the fish? So what you shouldn't do is you shouldn't hold me back from bringing Bikurim. The word Bikurim over here could be used a little bit loosely because obviously we're talking about a basket of fish. Okay, Bikurim is from fruit. Okay, Ditanya. But over here, Bikurim is used a little bit loosely. We learned in a brisa, v'ishba mibal shalisha v'yavei lisha lokim lechem bikurim esrim lechem sorim v'charmel b'tzik lo naom. So bring to Elisha bikurim. And the Gemara says, v'chi Elisha ocha bikurim hava. Now, Elisha, what is he doing eating bikurim? Bikurim are eaten by Kohanim, another one of the Matnos Kohuna. And Elisha was not a Kohen. So Rashi says he was from Sheva Gad. So Ella, you bring a gift to a Talmud Chacham, so it's as if you brought Bikurim. So the guy said to Ravana, you're a Talmud Chacham, I'm bringing you a gift. It's like I'm bringing Bikurim. So Amar Lei, Kabulon Be'inan, Di'ikbel, Hashadamart Li'taima, Mikabilna. He says, okay, good. So at first I didn't want to refuse it, but now that you gave me a lovely explanation, so now I'll take it. Shajla Kamadar of Nachman, Shalach Lei. So this story happens to continue. So so he sends him to Rav Nachman, and Rav Anan sends the following note to Rav Nachman. So he says, look, I need you to try this case. Why? I'm sure you're wondering why I'm not judging this case. The reason why is because my decision-making is impaired. I can't judge a case. Amar midishalach li hachi shma mina krevahu. Ah, so Rav Nachman thought to himself that since Rav Hanan sent me this guy, so it must be that he's a relative of Rav Hanan. So havakam dina dias mekame. Now he thought he was a relative of Rav Hanan, because why was Rav Hanan possible to judge? Okay, we know why, meaning we get the whole story. But miscommunication between Rav Hanan and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman thought that he was a relative of Rav Hanan, and that's why he can't judge the case. Anyway, so havakam kame din diasme kame. Now it happens to be that, you know, there was a line, obviously, in terms of, you know, what's next on the docket and what's the next case that's going to be taken by Rav Nachman. And it happens to have been that there was a yasum waiting in line, right, ready to be tried, ready to be judged. So Amar, so this is Rav Nachman now talking to himself as we're now on the top of Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. So hi, asay v'hai asay. So judging is a mitzvah essay. Pasuk says u'shvatetem tzedek. So the asay de kavat Torah adif, and judging a yasum is a mitzvah, and judging a tamachacham is a mitzvah. I'm going to judge a tamachacham. Okay, now it happens to be, this part's interesting, this is not Rav Hanan coming to the case, meaning it is a relative of Rav Hanan. At least Rav Nachman thought it was a relative of Rav Hanan. So basically you are Talmid Chacham by association, by relationship. Okay, so and it's so interesting, Rav Nachman saw this as being a clear issue of judging on behalf of a Talmid Chacham. Okay. Anyway, so Salke Ladina Diasme Ve'achte Ladine. So so what Rav Nachman did is he said to the Yasam, look, in other words, you don't worry. In other words, you're not going to lose your place in line. I'm just moving him ahead of you because he's a Talmid Chacham. I'm sure you understand. So Kevin Dechaz Abal Dine Yikara Deka Avidle Istatim Tanase. So now this had consequences. Right? Every one of our actions, even the best of intentions, have consequences. So now you had the other litigant, the counter litigant of this relative of Rav Hanan. And he saw now that because he was a relative to Rav Hanan, he got moved to the front of the line. And so now this other person, the counter litigant, said, I'm going to lose this case. In other words, his confidence went totally down because he now thinks that the judge is actually in favor of already the relative of Rav Hanan. And so he had all these arguments, and he really organized himself for the court case that day. And meanwhile, all of his arguments he forgot because basically he's confident, he was dispirited. Okay. More consequences. So we're continuing on. Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. Rav Hanan Avaragel Eliyahu Da'asigabe. As far as Rav Hanan is concerned, so Eliyahu Navi came and discoursed with Rav Hanan all the time. So Da'avimasile Seder De'Eliyahu. And what was he teaching him? Seder De'Eliyahu. Okay. Throughout Shas, Tana de Eliyahu, Tana de Be Eliyahu. I think it's part of this discourse. And I have a really good feeling also that Eliyahu Hanavi, who's been around historically forever, and in terms of what kind of form Eliyahu is now appearing to Rav Hanan, I wish I could give you more description. Meaning that we assume that that Eliyahu is still visiting us by Brisim and so forth and so on, by Pesach. So we assume that he comes, but obviously he's coming not beguf. I think we all understand that. Over here, when Eliyahu was visiting Rav Hanan, is it beguf? Is it ben neshama? Good. So questions which I don't know the answers to. But nevertheless, Eliyahu is coming and learning with Rav Hanan. Kevin David Hachi, however... Rav Hanan now was involved in something that was somewhat unseemly. And again, Rav Hanan had the best of intentions. And look, Rav Hanan, you know, he disqualified himself from judging. Meaning, right, this is really, really subtle. That what Rav Hanan did is that Rav Hanan basically gave a little bit of favoritism, totally unintended, to this person in the court of Rav Nachman. So istalek. So Eliyahu Navi basically said, okay, I know it's a subtlety, but you're a Talmid Chacham and you're a tzaddik, and this is what happens. In other words, when you engage in this behavior, so no longer are we discoursing. So Yasi Betanisa Vayrachme Va'ase. Okay, so we sit in, so Rav Hanan fasted, and he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu that Eliyahu returned to him, and in fact it happened. Ki Asa Ave Mabisle Be'usei. Now in the second round of discourses between Eliyahu HaNavi and Rav Hanan. So now he scared Rav Hanan. Now, my best guess is, it's not my explanation, but probably the best way to say this is that Rav Hanan now has lowered a level. No longer can basically talk face to face with Eliyahu HaNavi. And so now is in a little bit of awe and fear of Eliyahu HaNavi. And what Rav Hanan did is he made a teva himself. He would sit in the teva in front of Eliyahu, meaning he couldn't learn face to face with Eliyahu. Now there are these discourses were put into an organized format. It was basically written up. So we have Eliyahu Rabba and Eliyahu Zuta. Now we know the back of the story, meaning both of them were discourses of Eliyahu HaNavi together with Rav Hanan. And it's just a question of, was it the first iteration when they were learning face to face, or was it the second iteration when Rav Hanan was hiding in a box when learning with Eliyahu HaNavi? It was during the years of Rav Yosef that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was clearly upset and angry. As a result of that, famine came to the world. So they turned to Rav Yosef and they said, can you please daven on our behalf? So when Elisha was learning Torah, teaching Torah, and everyone dispersed, there were still some leftovers, meaning people who still wanted to hang around Elisha even after Shir was over. Now, how many are we talking about? The 2,200 students were left over. So, Be'idon Ritcha lo bai rachame. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, so davening didn't help. So, Ha'ana ibai rachame. Now, me, I'm not on that madrega, not nearly that madrega. Davening is not going to help for me. Okay. Certainly difficult to understand, meaning it's our job to daven, meaning when it's good, when it's not good, meaning, but what I assume over here is that that we're talking about Rav Yosef, we're talking about Elisha, meaning we're talking about people who really have a window and understanding into how it's working, how the world is working, and how a Kaddish Baruch Hu operates. And, you know, in other words, when you have that kind of insight, so you can make these kinds of decisions. But generally speaking, when things are going bad, so we daven. Okay. So, umimai de pasha hachi. How do I know? Elisha had 2,200 students who were left over after Shir. So, dichsif. So, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Malachim Beis. Vayomer mishar so ma'atein zelifnei mea ish. So, there wasn't enough food to go around. And how are we going to be able to feed 100 men? So, my lifnei mea ish. Ilim de kol lifnei mea ish. So that the bread's going to go in front of 100 people. So v'shnei is to v'havo. So if it's a famine, it's if a year of famine. So 100's a good amount of bread. Ela dechol v'chad kame me'aish. In other words, no, it was actually one loaf in front of 100 men. There were a total of 22 loaves. Meaning we didn't read that, but that was part of the psukim. There were 22 loaves. Each loaf is for 100 men. That's how the math works out. So kiav v'mifter rabbanim be'bei rav. As long as we talked about. As long as we talked about people who hung around after Shir, so when Rav ended Shir, Ava Paisha Alpha Masan Rabbanan, so 1,200 people were still sitting by Rav even after Shir was over. So Mibe Rav Huna, Ava Paisha Tamne Mea Rabbanan. So in Rav Huna Shir, 800 were left over. Rav Huna Ava Darsh Betleso Amorai. When Rav Huna was Darshan, so how many Amoraim did he have? How many Amoraim? Rav Huna was an Amora. The word Amor used in the Gemara is always the human microphone, the human megaphone. Meaning what the Talmud Chacham would do is he would give shir, and in order to broadcast his voice, so there would be other people over there who would be broadcasting. So how many microphones do you need? I mean, you only need one microphone, but that's not a serious comment. In other words, the amplifiers and the speakers is what we're talking about over here. So over here, so he had 13 speakers, and that just gives us a sense of how big a crowd we're looking at. So when people got up from Shir from Rav Huna, there were so many people at Shir. Now, we don't know how many people there were at Shir. We just know that there were 800 people left over. Okay, so it's fair to say there were a lot of people in Shir. And when he finished Shir, so the Talmidim would get up and they were sitting on the floor, so they had dust on their coat, and they would wipe off the coat, and that would create a cloud of dust, and it would cover the day. that cloud of dust. And when you had windstorms in Bavel, so they said, must be that Rav Huna just finished shir. In other words, why do you think we have this cloud of dust? Okay, and now over here, this could all be hyperbolic, and that's fine. Meaning, generally speaking, obviously, when we're reading the Gemara, we are taking every word seriously, but it's just you should just start to develop a sense of when the Gemara is doing a melitza. It's just an expression. In other words, Rav Huna had a big shir. In other words, we could just simply say that. And over here, they had very smart, wise expressions in terms of describing how big a shir it was. Rabba and Rav Yosef now are giving shir. By the way, everyone realize that we're going forward in terms of the Tkufa Samarayim. We started with Rav, we went to Rav Huna. Rav Huna was the Talmud of Rav. Now we're by Rabba and Rav Yosef. That's the next generation of Amarayim. And also the idea which we've expressed numerous times throughout Shas, but here's a perfect illustration, and that is Niskatnu Adaros. With every generation that comes, so the generation gets smaller, right? The shirim gets smaller, the quantity of the shirim gets smaller. Okay. So 400 Rabbanan, Vikaru Lanavshayu Yasme, they called themselves orphans. Okay, meaning to say that we are not the same as the generations previously. Now, when you get to the generations of Abai, now Abai happens to be the very next generation after Rabban and Rav Yosef. So when you get to the generation of Abaye, alternatively Rav Papa was a contemporary of Abaye. Alternatively, we're talking about Rav Ashi, who really takes us to the end of the Tkufa of the Amoraim, regardless. So now we're talking about 200 students that are left over, and they describe themselves as Yasme di Yasme. Okay. Still now, Kufa of Amud Aleph, we are moving towards the bottom of the Amud, more than halfway down. So I'm Rav Yisrael Bar Radifa, I'm Rav Ami, Mevakri Mumim Shibushalayim. So let's say your job was inspector. So and you inspected animals in the base of Mikdash in order to make sure that the animals do not have a mum. An animal with a mum cannot be brought as a karban, psukim and parshas amor. So you need somebody to know what in fact would qualify as a physical blemish. So we've covered the Gemara and Bechoros together, Baruch Hashem. And so we learned it, but in other words, that's nice. That's only learning it from the Gemara. You need practical field work in order to really know what's a mum. So you had these subspecialty people who were mevakri mumim. So how you know them? Schar mitchumas alishka. So how they would get paid is through chumas alishka. Again, sorry, chumas alishka. So that was public money. Everyone would be making a contribution of a chasi shekel every year, and so that money now is pooled together, brought into the lishka, brought into a chamber in the base of Mikdash, and an entire Masechta is dedicated to the discussion of what of those monies are going to be used for what. First and foremost, primarily, those monies are operations. In other words, bringing the karbanos, and the karbanos are going to be paid through that money. But not through all that money, that's through the Trumas Halishka, the money that is taken off three times a year. There are going to be three distributions from the chamber. That's what's called Trumas Halishka. So, and of that Trumas Halishka money, so not all of it's going to be going towards carbon, other operations as well. And what we're learning together is the inspection of the animals also is coming from that same distribution. Someone had to teach a Kohen how to shecht. Kohanim were shechting all the time. Now it happens to be that shechita is kosher bazar. A non-Kohen can do shechita. That's true. Okay, but that's the halacha. Practically speaking, the Kohanim did the Shechita. It makes sense. They're in the base of Mikdash, and they're the ones doing the Avodah. Okay, so so they have to learn how to Shecht. They need the teachers. Who's paying those teachers? So, Hayinolim Scharim Mitrumas Halishka. Again, it's coming from the Trumas Halishka distribution, because it's carbon associated, obviously. Amrav Gidol Amrav Tamidich Chacham Emlamdim Hilchos Kemitza, the Kohanim, Notlim Scharim Mitrumas Halishka. Same thing in terms of Kemitza. Kemitza is the taking off of a fistful of flour to put it onto the mizbech, so that the rest of the mincha would be deemed shirayim. And so, once again, kemitza is not easy. The Gemara describes it as not being easy. I have no idea. I don't know how to do kemitza. I can try to demonstrate to you how it's done. I have an idea in a sense, but the Gemara gives clear instructions. You take your fingers, you put it over your palm, holding up your thumb and your pinky. And whatever flour is kept in the hand is considered komets. Okay, But still, it required more than that, and so he needed teachers. And once again, the money's taken from the Trumas Alishka. Amar Abba Bar Bachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Magias Farim, Shebi Yushalayim, you don't lose Sfarim in Trumas Alishka. People who were checking on Sfarim, making sure that there were no mistakes in the Sfarim, so they also collected money from the Trumas Alishka. Interesting, Rashi over here, Magias Farim, you look at Rashi, Rashi's towards the top. Rashi's about a quarter of the way down. Rashi writes, Magias Farim, Shekol Adam Va'adam. This is not just Sfarim of the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody brought their Sfarim over to the Beis HaMikdash to have it checked and examined. So Rashi, citing the Gemara, the Gemara says that you have a Sefer with a mistake in it, so that is a violation of the Pasuk, Al Tishkam Olach Avla. Now, checking Sfarim, that's a lot of work. And it needs compensation. So basically, the Beis HaMikdash realized, okay, we're going to have to fund this. This is a project which we're going to have to fund, and they did. Okay, so there was a free inspection. I say it's free, by the way. It's not free. In other words, private individuals didn't pay for it, but the public paid for it. Okay. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Nashim, Ha'orgos, Beparoch, Nolan, Scharim, Chumas, Lishka. The women who stitched the paroches also collected from Shumas Alishka. And Vani Omer, now that was Rav Nachman quoting Rav. Rav Nachman himself said, Mikache Berekabais, whole paroches tachas binyan asuyes. And Rav Nachman says, look, from an accounting standpoint, I disagree. In other words, Shumas Alishka is operations. That's carbon. But when it comes to capital cost and capital expenses and capital upkeep, so that comes from Bedek Abayis. That's general donations to the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Nachman says that I think paroches is not carbon related. I think it's capital related. So they're having a debate in accounting. But obviously, it's Torah accounting, so it's part of Torah. Meis v'nashem argos b'paroches beis garmu amais alechem apanim. And beis avtidas amais akitaros kula inolim schar mitshumas alishkan. So meanwhile, the Gemara quotes a b'raisa. And the Brisa says with clarity, the women stitching together with the family of Beis Garma, together with the family of Beis Avtinas, who are responsible for the Lechem Apanim and the Ketores respectively. So they're saying clearly that the collection for the Parochis is coming from Trumas Alishka, just like Rav said, not like Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, Hasam Medavavi. What Rav Nachman could do to defend his position and say that Brisa is not talking about the Parochis, you know, the one separating the kosher and the kosher kadashim, but various doorways, meaning various doorways, that's capital. But the paroches, that's avoda. It's also capital, but it's avoda. So the Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Shosha, Asa paroches ayu b'mikdash, Sheini, there were 13 paroches in the second base of mikdash, Shiva, keneged Shiva Sharim, Echel Apischo Shehecha, Echel Apischo Sheulam, Shnaim B'dvir, Ushnaim keneged Ba'aliyah. So when we learned Talmud, we did this in fantastic detail. We're not learning Masechta Tamid right now. I'll just simply suffice to say, there were 13 doorways that needed a parochas. So for those, that's temple upkeep. And the funds with that were taken from temple upkeep. But in terms of the parochas, separating Kosh and Kodesh Kodashim, that's Trumas Alishka. That's what Rav Nachman would say to defend his position. Tan Rabban and Ashim and Megalos B'nayim. Lepara. Hayinolim Scharam, Mi Trumas Alishka. Let's continue. So the women who were raising their children in order to be involved in the preparation of the Parah Aduma. Okay, in the beginning of Yuma, and in the second Perek of Sukkah, so we're going to be discussing this at length. Now I say we're going to, we did, Baruch Hashem, and we're also going to as well, in Yirtzeh Hashem. But meanwhile, so I'm not going to go through all the details right now. And Rashi over here does give a lot of detail. So I encourage you, take a look at Rashi to go over this. But anyway, and by the way, it's funny, I quote the Gemara Yuma, and I quote the And I quote the Gemara and Sukkah. And it's a Mishnah. Okay. Before the Gemaras. So, and it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah and Parah. Mm-hmm. But regardless, the point is that this required also a lot of funding. But Parah Aduma, it is. Now, Parah Aduma is a carbon? Of course, the answer is no. But yes. And I'm not trying to confuse you. It's just, it's a little bit of a hybrid. So anyway, so I know Linscharim and Trumas Alishka, so the money would come from Trumas Alishka. So Abishal Amar Neshmi Yikaro Shibishlaim Hayuzanos Osam Omefarnesos Osam. And according to Abishal, this was privately funded. Okay. By Mine Ravuna Mirav. Very bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, we're turning the page. Klisharis. So Mikadshei Bet HaGabayis. I'm sorry, Maushi Yasa Mikadshei Bet HaGabayis. So as far as the Klisharis is concerned, so they are obviously servicing the Karbanos, obviously. So how is that going to be funded? So is it Mikadshei Bet HaGabayis because Sarach Mizbech Ninhu, or Mikadshei Bet HaGabayis Asu, or Sarach Karban Ninhu, or Mishumas Alishkan Hayuos and Osan. So we're going to be ending our daf today with another accounting debate. And that is the Kalim. How are they going to be funded? On one hand, they are servicing the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is part of the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach is going to be funded through Kadshei Bet HaGabayis account. On the other hand, the Kalim obviously are part of the Avoda. So that's operations. So maybe it should be coming from Chumas Alishka. Okay, so, Am or Lay, so this is the question that was supposed to Rav. Rav answers. Ein asin elu mitchumas alishka. Okay, let me just make a meta point over here before we get, we're finishing up today's talk. Let me just make a meta point, and that is that, and this is not a newsflash, meaning just an observation that we made already numerous times. And that is that we have the Amoraim deliberating, debating what occurred during the Beis HaMikdash. Already by, just, in other words, let's put ourselves historically, by the period of Rav. So we're somewhere now at the end of the 2nd century, beginning of the 3rd century, well over 100 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash. And so, in other words, which account was it taken from? So well over 100 years, it hasn't been taken from any account, meaning we were no longer operating the Beis HaMikdash. And the Amoraim are debating these kinds of minutia points regarding the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, Kachim was learnt in the yeshivas of Bavel. Okay, why they were learnt in the yeshiva of Bavel? So there are many wonderful explanations, but it's clear. In other words, there's an entire Seder of Kachim which has a Talmud Bavli on it. Meaning, and you wonder, meaning the you understand Nashim and Ezekin and Moed. Meaning, those are all things that were relevant in Bavel. But the Beis HaMikdash was no longer in operation, and they were living in Bavel, and they were meanwhile talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's just good. That's a larger meta point, which is, you know, I just, because before we get lost in the minutia, just, you know, it's good just to recognize and realize how important it was for them. So Amalei Nasin Elam Chumas Alishka. So again, so the Kalim now are going to be funded by which account? So the Gemara says it's going to be funded. This is Rav's answer. Chumas Alishka. Esve. So the Gemara says, okay, let's see if you're right. So we're quoting now from Psukim and Divrei Hayamim. Uchechalos Amivul Lifnei Amalach V'Yal Yada. Es Sha'ar HaKesav Yasu Kalim Ves Hashem Klishares. So this is now, again, if we read the Psukim inside, we would see that this is money for Bet HaGabayis. This is temple upkeep funds. And meanwhile, it says that they used it for Klisharis. So Amalei Dakarcha Ksuva Lo Akrei Navi. So Rav says to Rav Huna, look, you had a wonderful Ksuvim teacher, but apparently your Navi teacher is not that good. Okay. So I wish I could say one of those two for myself. Anyway, so Achlo Yaseh Beis Hashem Sipos. So now we're turning back to Malachim, meaning Divrei Yamim is part of Ksuvim. So now we're going back to Malachim, which obviously is part of Nevi'im. So Achlo Yaseh Beis Hashem Sipos Ki Leosei Malacha Yinuhu. So, and again, look in the context of the Psukim over there. So it's from the Psukim, it sounds like. The klisharis were coming from Bet HaGabayis, but rather from Chumas Alishka. So Yachi Kasha Kraya Dadi. So good. So the machlokis between Rav and Rav Huna is now really a machlokis between Psukim and Divrei Yama versus Psukim and Malachim. So Lo Kasha Kansha Gava Vosiru Kansha Gava Velo Osiru. So as far as the Pasuk and Divrei Yama is concerned, so in other words, there was surplus money from Bet HaGabayis. So in such a situation, you could take that surplus money and use it to buy Kalim. But in other words, but if there's no surplus money, so where is it going to come from? So it's going to come from Chumas Alishka. And meaning it can come from Chumas Alishka because it's part of Avoda. V'chigavu v'asir mayhave. So the Gemara says, okay. So even if we're saying that the Pesukim and Divrei Yamim is talking about where there's surplus, so what? Right. In other words, right. What are we going to do? We're going to repurpose money? if money was collected for temple upkeep, you can't use it now for operation. So I'm Rabbi Abba, Olei Beisim Masna Aleim. So Im Itzruchu Itzruchu V'Yim Lav, Yukli Kli Sharis. So the Gemara says, correction, they can be repurposed. Any monies that are given to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Beis HaMikdash says that, look, all these monies are going to be fungible. And so obviously you thought that you're bringing it for a particular purpose, but if we find that it needs to be repurposed, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to repurpose that money. Tanda be Rabbi Shmuel, Kli Sharis, Bayim Mishuma Salishka. The Gemara quotes in the Brisa Rabbi Shmuel, meaning we just had a discourse between Rav and Rav Huna, Maraim. We're going backwards now. We're going back to the Tanayim. So Rabbi Shmuel says it comes from Shumas Lishka, Shenemar, Eshar Kesef. So he quotes a pasuk from Divrei Yamim, Ezu Kesef Sheish Lo Shirayim Aveyamer, Zu Shumas Lishka. In other words, when we say Shar Kesef, so we're looking at monies that have Shirayim. Oh, that's a Shumas Lishka. It's funny. The Amorayim saw the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, and to them it was clear that was Bedek Abayis. But meanwhile, Rabbi Shmuel is making a diuk in the pasuk. So Ve'emer Shirayim Gufayu. So maybe it's talking about money that were left over in the Lishka, meaning not the Truma Salishka, which that monies are clearly for operation, but after the Truma Lishka is over, if you have any Shirayim over, so maybe that's talking about, that maybe that money is going to be used for the Kalim. So the Gemara says, no, Kidama Rava, Ha Ola, Ola Rishona, Ha Chinami, Ha Kesef, Kesef Risha. No. In other words, the Hey is a Hey Ayidia. Right, when we talk about the ha'ola, that's talking about the carbon, meaning the carbon tamid. So we say ha'kesef, we're talking about the money that was taken, that was tithed, so to say, meaning the truma salishka. Makes for the gemara challenges the katoris v'chol carbon and seir b'arayim truma salishka. So all carbon seir come from truma salishka. Mizbech hazav and lavona v'chli sharis by me mimosar nisachim. So as far as the golden mizbeach and the lavona, which was put on top of the lechem upon him, and the kli sharis, so they're coming from surplus money, moser nesachim. Elsewhere, we discuss and debate exactly what moser nesachim is, but for our purposes right now, we could just call it surplus money. So mizbeach ola velishka v'azaros by mikasha bedek abayis. As far as the outer mizbeach are concerned, and all the chambers and anything construction-wise, so that's coming from Kachet Bedek Abayis, Temple Upkeep Fund. Chutz Chomas HaZara by Mishayara Lishkos. And anything outside of the Chomas HaZara, basically the Ezra Snashim, so the Chel, the Chomas HaIr, so that's coming from Shayara HaLishkos. Anything left over in the chamber after the Truma. Zu Shishanina Chomas HaIr Miglosev Chutz HaIr by Mishayara Lishkos. Okay, good. So what does it come out over here? So that in this brisa that we just quoted, so the brisa tells us that kelim are coming from Moser Nesachim. Okay. So Tanaihi. So the Gemara says, okay, no, it's a machlokas Tanaim. So the Mishnah teaches us, Moser Truma, Mayu Osimba, anything that is left over from the Truma Salishka. So what would they do with it? Riku Izav Tzipu Lebeis Kadosh Kadoshim. So, according to the Tanakhama, it's what they're using it for is the renewal of the plating of the interior of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, most apparels are Ketzim Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the most apparels are Ketzim Mizbeach, basically in the dry season, meaning when there weren't many carbonates that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, so all the surplus money was used for bringing additional carbonates during that time of year. And Moser Truma, Lekli Sharis, Moser Truma. We go for Kli Sharis, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Moser Truma, for Leketz HaMizbech, Moser Nesachim, Lekli Sharis. Okay, good. So what do we see over here in this Brisa? Machlokas Tanayim, exactly which fund is going to be drawn from in order to pay for the Kli Sharis. And Rabbi Chanin is going to go on, Omer, Moser Nesachim, Leketz HaMizbech, Moser Truma, Lekli Sharis, Vizeh, La Yamodim Beperos. Okay. They would both disagree in terms of what's done with the surplus of the Peros. Okay, anyway. Comes out is that it's a Machlokas Tanayim. Good. So we start off the Amud Beis with the Machlokas Rav and Rav Huna. Where are we drawing the money for the Kalim? And again, just to distill the discussion, it's really a question of the Kalim are what? They're more capital construction, Bedek Abayis. Alternatively, they're more Avoda, and therefore they should be coming from Truma Salishka. Answer, it's a Machlokas between Rav and Rav Huna. And furthermore, it's a Machlokas Tanayim, where exactly it's coming from. Peres Mahi. I'll tell you what. Let's hold off on the pears for tomorrow. All right. The Gemara is going to introduce us again to what exactly that surplus fund is coming from, the Peiros fund. What exactly is that? It's a machlokas. We're gonna start with that tomorrow. Okay. Meanwhile, let's quickly recap. Let's review today. Okay. In the bottom of Kuf Hamad Bey, so more stories regarding Shochan. Right. Somebody makes an overture to you. That's what's called Shochan Dvarim, and you no longer can serve on the bench. You can't judge. And so we went over at the beginning of Shir today, three separate stories in terms of Shochet Dvarim. In addition, by the way, we had other stories of Shochet Dvarim in yesterday's daf as well. Good. So numerous stories that introduce us to this idea of Shochet Dvarim. Then, the story that capped off yesterday's daf and went into today's daf, the story with Rav Hanan and Eliyahu HaNavi. Rav Hanan was learning with Eliyahu HaNavi, but because of an incident where Rav Hanan had no intention to do anything wrong in terms of a perversion of justice, and I say perversion, by the way, it wasn't a perversion of justice. Meaning, that is not a good way to describe it. Okay. But the judgment was a little bit impaired because of what Rav Hanan did. Again, go back to the beginning of today's daf where we went over the story in detail. And so Eliyahu would no longer come and visit Rav Hanan. And so Rav Hanan davened, he fasted, he davened, he came back. And so this is the second iteration of their discourse. So Eliyahu Rabbah, iteration number one, Eliyahu Zuta, that's iteration number two. Those are the two discourses that we have documented between the conversations of Eliyahu Navi and Rav Hanan. Shiurim, right, when you have a lot of people by Shir. So in the earlier generations, a lot of people were left over. And as we moved across the generations, we went this morning from Rav to Rav Huna to Rabbah, to Abai Rav Yosef, to Rab and Rav Yosef. We went to Abai, we went all the way down to Rav Ashi, and the number of people at Shir was reduced in number. Okay, and then the bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Aleph talked about where the teachers got paid, teachers who were teaching the Kohanim to do various avodas. So how did they get paid? Trumas Alishka, because it was avoda based. And then the entirety of Amud Beis today, Kuf Vav Amud Beis, has a discussion regarding where is the money coming from, where the funds coming from to pay for the Kli Shares. Is that a capital cost or is that an operation cost? Should it be coming from Bedek Abayis? Should it be coming from Trumas Alishka? So that's a machlokis between the Amoraim, and as we learned at the end of Kuvavim Beis, a machlokis amongst the Tanaim as well.